whatever it is in your life that's going to be able to be used by God to bring a great harvest, that's something that's going to take a lot of maintenance in your life. It takes up a lot of time and effort. Anytime you develop some great ability, that serves as a kind of a liability because you have to maintain it. It takes up resources and time and money. One of Aesop's fables speaks of a farmer who was about to die and was desiring to impart to his sons a secret of great value. So he called them to himself and said, "My sons, I'm shortly about to die. I would have you know, therefore, that in the vineyard there lies hidden treasure. Dig, and you'll find it." As soon as their father was dead, the sons took a spade and fork and turned up the soil in the vineyard over and over again in their search for the treasure which they believed to be buried there. They found none, however. But the vines, after so thorough a digging, produced a crop that such had never been seen before. There is no treasure without toil. One of the influences on our culture that has come from the Judeo-Christian ethic is what is referred to commonly as the Judeo-Christian work ethic. Now, what is the work ethic? You ever thought about that? I mean, everybody everywhere in the world works, whether they're influenced by the Bible or not. The work ethic is not just working when you have to work. It describes the biblical concept, really, of diligence. Anyone will work when they have a strong enough motive, but the diligent man will work hard just because he's diligent. The diligent person sees the value in hard work itself. The work itself is valuable, and it's a good thing to work hard even when you don't have to. Even when you don't need to, there's no reason that compels you to, it's still a good thing. The opposite of diligence is laziness. And laziness is always a bad thing. A lazy man won't ever get a job done unless there's enough pressure on him. Chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, in verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, and yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at the harvest." It does all that work, and nobody's making it do anything. Nobody forces an ant to do that work. It just does it because it's a diligent kind of a bug. It's what it does. In John 5:16, Jesus was being hassled for doing the things he was doing on the Sabbath, and it says because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. In verse 17, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." You shouldn't be surprised that I'm working on the Sabbath. God works, he always works every Sabbath. God is active, is the point. He's constantly working. And not just for the sake of work, but because it's part of his good, perfect, wonderful nature to be productive and creative. That's part of who God is. So activity and productivity and creativity are good things. They're God-like qualities that glorify God. That's why diligence and productivity and hard work are virtues. God is like that. He likes those things. And so when he created a world in such a way as to where you would, generally speaking, be better off in life if you work hard. Now, everyone battles laziness at some point. Even workaholics tend to be lazy in some aspects. A guy might work 80 hours a week in the office, and every one of those 80 hours he works very hard, but maybe he's lazy when it comes to disciplining the kids. Tells the kids to go to bed, they don't go to bed, he's too lazy to get up and discipline or do anything about it. Some people are too lazy to get up and go to work in the morning, other people are too lazy to leave work and come home in the evening. A woman might be extraordinary at getting her housework done, working hard all day, but then be lazy when it comes to writing letters or balancing checkbook or whatever. You might be the type who, the moment there's some big chore that needs doing outside, you'll be out there, roll up your sleeves, just sweating, working hard all day. But when it comes to straightening out something where you've offended somebody or straightening a relationship out, or whatever, you put things off. Maybe you work hard on relationships, but you're lazy when it comes to seeking God in prayer or Scripture. This is just really a subject that impacts us all, isn't it? At every point, at some point, every one of us has struggled with laziness. And so it's a subject that's of vital interest. We're all right now in the midst of the study of the book of Proverbs. We've been looking at the major themes, finding out how to make wise decisions in discerning God's will in life. And if we're ever going to be able to make good judgment calls and wise decisions in life, we're going to have to understand the value of this virtue, diligence. Diligent people tend to be successful in everything they do. And that is the theme that dominates what Proverbs says about diligence, is the fact that it's so valuable. It makes you a valuable person, and it brings you great reward. People that are diligent may try and fail and try and fail and try and fail just like the rest of us, but the virtue of diligence keeps them from becoming lazy, and sooner or later that pays off. Chapter 12, verse 24, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. The diligent are people who seem to come out on top in life. They just always seem to come out on top. The lazy people see that, and they assume, wow, they get a lot of lucky breaks. It's amazing how lucky the diligent people tend to always be. If you're weak or lacking in ability, diligence can make up for that. Even if you're a very weak, small person, in fact, again, about the ant, chapter 30, verse 24, four things on earth are small, and yet they're extremely wise. Ants are a creature of little strength, and yet they store up their food for the summer. You can be as weak as an ant, but if you're diligent, you'll still be okay. So it's valuable to you, and it also makes you valuable to employers. The virtue of diligence makes you a commodity. Chapter 25, verse 13 says, like the coolness of the snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Laziness, on the other hand, makes you a liability to your employer. Chapter 10, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. You become an annoyance and an irritant to your employer because you can never count on you to get anything done. So a diligent man becomes highly sought after, highly valued, and that results in a lot of benefits. Benefits such as prestige. He's well thought of. Chapter 22, verse 29, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. There are people in this world who are generally respected by those around them and others who are just sort of tolerated. And it's usually the diligent who are the ones who are the well-respected. You're a hard worker. After a while, people will look up to you. Your life will be in order. And people will see that. A woman who doesn't sit around all day watching daytime TV, isn't lazy, who's, you know, diligent, working hard. After a while, people will begin to respect a woman like that. Maybe nobody sees her in her house and she's all alone doing all that work, diligently doing that, but over time it has an effect because they can see people notice her home is in order, that her kids are well taken care of, and she earns people's respect. So it brings you prestige and it brings you wealth. Chapter 28, verse 19. Chapter 12 says the same thing. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. When you're lazy, a day's work for a day's pay just doesn't seem worth it. And so you try and find a shortcut. Lazy people are always looking for shortcuts to wealth, some other way to get rich. And they go out and buy lotto tickets, and they get involved in multi-level marketing, or they spend their, you know, money on risky investments and get rich quick books. Those books, by the way, I always wonder about those things. If they work, if the principles in those books work, why is the guy going through the big headache of writing a book? Why didn't he just do the thing in the book and get rich that way? But anyway, don't waste your energy on looking for shortcuts. That'll tend to make you poor. Work hard. Be industrious, and things will eventually start bouncing your way. Chapter 14, verse 23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. There are some people who have no end to their great ideas. They've got a million ideas for making a ton of money, but they always seem to be struggling to pay the bills, those same people. If they would have fewer brilliant ideas and more days of sweat and hard work, they'd be much better off. Mere talk doesn't get you anywhere. And that principle is an interesting principle to apply to the church. If you ever thought about that. Mere talk, how much mere talk is there in the church in comparison to hard work? There's never any shortage of mere talk in any church. Someone ought to do that. People, we should greet the people this way. Somebody should have taken care of that person. And why didn't somebody call them? And this should be done, that should be done, this ministry, that ministry. A lot of mere talk. Very little hard work in comparison. If we reduced the amount of talk, mere talk, by half and doubled the amount of hard work, I think we'd be a lot more fruitful. Success always requires hard work, whether in the spiritual realm or the physical realm. Chapter 14, verse 4, where there are no oxen. This is an interesting verse. You may want to look this one up and underline or take a look at it. Chapter 14, verse 4. Where there are no oxen, the manger, or the trough, the feed trough, is empty. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. The sluggard figures the best way to get a nice, clean, low-maintenance barn is to just get rid of all the animals. Much easier to maintain. Then you don't have to clean up their mess. The problem with that, though, is what are you going to do when it's time to plow? You see the word ox there. That's Hebrew for the word tractor. That's how they plowed back then. We use machinery. If you get rid of your tractor, you can save a bundle on insurance and fuel costs and tractor payments. And you don't have repairs and all that, but the big drawback is when harvest time comes, you go bankrupt because there's no crop. It's a great principle for people in a church plant to understand, isn't it? We need to invest. So often, church will face financial pinch and say, boy, we could save a lot of money by just reducing our outreach or cutting back on our this ministry, that ministry, reducing pastoral staff or whatever. The problem is that results, doing all that results in a decline in the ministry, the fruitfulness of the ministry. Yeah, you can save yourself a lot of money and a lot of work by doing that, but that's not our goal. There are times when a church needs to cut back, but we need to be careful that we're not getting rid of the tools that we need for the ministry that God has called us to just because we want to save money or time and effort. You can also apply this principle to your own personal resources in your life. Think about your gifts, your abilities and talents. Whatever it is in your life that's going to be able to be used by God to bring a great harvest, that's something that's going to take a lot of maintenance in your life. It takes up a lot of time and effort. Anytime you develop some great ability, that serves as a kind of a liability because you have to maintain it. It takes up resources and time and money. When I used to play the trumpet, it paid a great dividends in my life. I got a lot of rewards from that. I got to travel. I got to do a bunch of neat things that opened up to me as a result of being able to do that, but to maintain that skill, I had to practice hours every day. And that's a liability. It took a lot of time, a lot of resource. Now, I'm free from that burden of practicing, but I don't have any of the rewards of being a good musician. So, underline that in your Bible, chapter 14, verse 4, where there is no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox comes abundant harvest. Another way to say that is, either you shovel the manure, or you're not going to have any manure to shovel. That's another way to put that. The difficulties that come from having some resource need to be maintained. You think, my house is a mess, my kids are driving me crazy, my husband's a pain in the neck. All these things that I have are causing me so much heartache, so much pain in the neck. Tell that to the person who's single and lonely. Either you shovel the manure or you won't have any manure to shovel. And don't forget about the Lord's rebuke of the lazy servant in Matthew 25:26, where he portrays himself as a master who reaps where he didn't sow. God expects a crop from your life. And he's given you resources to bring that about. So don't be lazy in the tools with the tools he's given you to sow the crop, even if those tools take up a lot of energy. So diligence and willingness to work hard is of tremendous value. It brings you all those benefits. And laziness, on the other hand, is destructive. That's the flip side of it. Chapter 1, verse 32, the complacency of fools will destroy them. Chapter 18, verse 9, the one who is slack in his work is a brother to the one who destroys. Think about that for a minute. That's chapter 18, verse 9. The one who is slack in his work is a brother to the one who destroys. Why? Why are they brothers? You have two guys. One's a destroyer. He destroys things. He goes around wrecking things. And the other's just a sluggard. He's just slacks in his work. They're brothers because the result, the end result is the same. The destroyer goes down the street, finds somebody's beautifully landscaped yard and trashes it. The lazy man just never gets around to taking care of his own yard. In the end, the two yards look exactly the same, don't they? That's why they're brothers. If you're lazy, it's the same thing as being destructive because you're ruining the potentially good end product that could be being produced by your hard work. You understand that? You see, the work that God has enabled you to do, God expects done. And if you don't do it just out of laziness, it's the same as destroying it. Fascinating thought. Chapter 24, verse 30 says, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment, and thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Instead of wealth, you'll have poverty. Chapter 10, verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. And that applies not just to money, but everything you desire in life. You're just not going to get your desires fulfilled if you're lazy. Chapter 13, verse 4, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. None of your desires are going to be satisfied when you're lazy. Chapter 21, verse 25, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. You might have a lot of desires in life, a lot of cravings. You might desire a strong marriage, but be too lazy to put enough effort into it to get it going. You might have a dream ministry that would be perfect for you, but you're not willing to lay the foundation or to get the training or learn the missing skills or to put your time in working at some smaller thing to work your way up or whatever. You might wish you were in shape or wish you were closer to your kids or wish your house weren't in disarray, or you wish you understood your Bible more. Lots of desires that we have, but the lazy person just goes from desire to desire, and every one of them is unfulfilled. God set this world up so that, generally speaking, your desires will go unfulfilled if you're not a diligent person. That's not to say that diligence is the only factor in success. There are other things. You also need to have a sound plan. You can work really hard at a bad idea and it won't get you anywhere. So you need to think things through. Chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as the haste leads to poverty. So you need to think things through. Don't waste your work on dumb ideas. But don't spend all your time thinking and planning. Spend most of your time working. That's the important thing. All right, so that kind of lays the foundation. That's the importance of diligence. It's an incredibly important thing that we need to learn. So you say, how do I do it? How can I make myself be more diligent? I mean, I want to be diligent. I don't want to be a slug all the time, but how do I change? Well, let's see what Proverbs has to say regarding that. I got a few things here listed. First, number one, learn to be diligent just for diligence's sake. Pursue the virtue just because it's a virtue. So often we're not diligent because all we do is look at the end product and we don't think about the fact that diligence itself is a good thing. The more you establish a pattern of diligence, even in small areas, the more energy that will give you in life to be diligent in the other areas, and the easier it will be for you to work hard. It's kind of a paradox. Diligence tends to make you a more energetic person. Laziness has the reverse effect. Laziness makes you have less energy and all of your work seems harder. Chapter 15, verse 19, important verse. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. when you get into a pattern of laziness, even the easiest tasks seem impossibly difficult. And when you're diligent, even hard tasks seem easier. For that reason, I've been studying this. I've really been working hard on diligence, trying to learn how to be diligent in all the little small areas in life. And I've been kind of on the lookout in my life for areas of laziness. I'll give you an example. The part of my day that I hate the most by far is when I do my morning push-ups. I hate doing push-ups. I hate doing any kind of exercise, but especially push-ups. But I do that to try and keep in shape. And so I found that I was getting into a pattern. Every time I had time to do my push-ups, especially if I was tired, I'd get down, get on the floor, get ready to do my push-ups, and I'd just kind of lay there for several minutes trying to get the motivation to get going on those push-ups. And I'd have the radio, be on, sit there and listen to the radio. Sometimes I'd lay there for 10 minutes. I got into a habit of every time I was tired, I'd lay there for a while. And that began to be a drag on the whole rest of my day because it was establishing a pattern of laziness. So I decided every time I'm going to do push-up, I'm going to instantly start. As soon as I get down the floor, I'm going to start doing the push-ups. And I've tried to adopt that way of dealing with all of the different things in my life, with all the little things, every little aspect. I try to do the hardest job first. Start right away with things. Put things away right now, not later. Don't put things off. Like establishing a pattern of diligence like that. And what I found is it does. It works. It gives you energy in life. It makes you more able to do important things, to be diligent in the important things. But you allow laziness to creep in, and this little area, that little area, the next thing you know, your way is blocked with thorns. And going through life is like wading through knee-deep molasses, and you just can't seem to get yourself going. Chapter 19, verse 15, laziness brings on a deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. It makes you lethargic. Leave that thing laying out, I'll take care of that later, leave that cabinet door hanging open, I don't feel like closing it. Bill paying can be done tomorrow. Linger on the couch a few minutes before I get up and go to bed. Hit the snooze over and over in the morning. The next thing you know, your whole life is you're half asleep. And you don't have any energy to do anything. And you can't seem to get yourself to accomplish the task that God has called you to. And you end up in chapter 26, verse 14. Listen to this. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The lazy person, it's like he's attached to his bed, like a door to his hinges, and he can't seem to get the energy to get up. The best he can do is just turn over. Pathetic picture. Laziness weakens you, so everything is hard. Everything is hard. And then you get more laziness, a downward spiral that goes down and down until finally you end up, chapter 26, verse 15, the sluggard, this is a good one too, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. That same proverb appears again in chapter 19. I mean, you can't do anything. You can barely get your fork from your plate up to your mouth. You're so lazy. That's kind of a humorous proverb, but it illustrates really a profound point about the value of diligence. Laziness tends to make us quit in the middle of a task a lot. You know, I start out motivated, I dive into something, and I'm going great guns on it, but time goes by, and it begins to feel monotonous. And for whatever reason, I can't seem to remember why it was that I thought this job was worth doing in the first place, and so I quit. Proverbs like 26:15 illustrate the foolishness of doing half the work for none of the benefit. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. He's done half the work. He gets zero benefit from it. And that is always an unwise use of time and resources. Chapter 12:27, the lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. He's so lazy. A person who quits in the middle of things all the time is like a guy who goes out, goes all the trouble of going hunting, and he gets something, and he has done all that work of gutting it out, cleaning it, and all that, and cutting it up. But now he's too lazy to cook it, and so he goes hungry. He's done all that work and he gets zero benefit from it. You need the virtue of diligence to help push you past those times when you can't see the value of this project you're in the middle of. And diligence will keep you going through it, even though you can't see the value of it, to help you finish it out. You're just going to say, I'm going to press on just because I'm a diligent person.